Re-Re-Re-Re-Re-Re-Gontcharov. Written by Berlin Corpography. Read by
Melancholy Morningstar as Dr. Megan Wright.
Espiel as Dr. Leila El-Duwani.
Chaos Kiro as Sarah.
Orchata as Starfucker number 9.
Dr. Fumbles McStupid as Billabong Cloud.
Kratvik Strode as Lily Elbe.
Jack's Long Coat as Dr. Marcus Shimchuk.
Kitty Clawpods as Katrina Worsted.
Semper Fiona as Cynthia Tokarczuk.
Flower Parish as Barry London.
Tipsy Kitty as Matthew Ledbetter.
And edited by Corey Cathonia. For the fandom of Gontcharov, with the pairing of original female character, original female character, and the additional tags of metafiction, epistolary, off-screen yet extensively discussed Katya Sophia, enemies to lovers, and the horrors of academia. Part 1.
The celluloid void, lesbianism as a negative presence in Martin Scorsese's Gontcharov. Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London. This paper presents a new reading of the Katya Sophia and Andrei Gontcharov relationships in Martin Scorsese's 1973 crime thriller Gontcharov. While male homoeroticism in the film is constructed through a semiotic and narratological vocabulary of excess, indebted both to popular stereotypes regarding queer men and to screenwriter Matteo J.W.H. J.0715's fascination with the aesthetics of Italian fascism, the equivalent female relationships are instead marked primarily by visual and narratological absences. I argue that, while these voids may plausibly be the result of indifference, or even outright misogyny on the part of the film's creators, they nonetheless open up new interpretive space foreclosed for the male characters by the thick accretions of narrative and visual materiality with which their stories are encumbered. Through the repeated absence of Katya from the screen, and through a subtly distinct cinematographic vocabulary that refuses to do the work of meaning-making for the viewer, Scorsese and J.W.H. J.0715 succeed, whether intentionally or otherwise, in positioning female homoeroticism as a locus of liberatory potential in an otherwise highly fatalistic narrative. This is evidenced, I suggest, not only by the mechanics of the film itself, but also by the unusual prominence afforded to Katya, and, even more notably, when considered in relation to her time on screen, Sophia, in the interpretive apparatus surrounding it. Drawing on the work of Eliza Vanna Straten and Rutger Sloan, I then conclude this article by proposing several resulting strategies of queer cinematic reading with wider applicability.
Sarah, you're not going to believe what that bitch has done now.
Okay, so, I know time is a bourgeois construct or whatever, and I'm glad you're enjoying your newfound tenured freedom, but it is 3 a.m., and some of us have day jobs.
Oh my god, just put your phone on mute when you sleep like the rest of us, but anyway, seeing as you're up now, guess what that bitch has done?
Just to clarify, by that bitch, you mean Dr. Megan Wright, author of the respected monograph Imagined Empires, Visions of Europe in North American Crime Cinema, 1940 to 1975?
I thought you didn't listen when I sent you voice memos about my work.
I don't. But it turns out WhatsApp has been automatically saving them to my music folder. And one came up on shuffle while I was doing the dishes. So yes, I know about your weird one-sided feud with the current golden girl of the transatlantic film studies scene. Much against my will.
Okay, first of all, it's not one-sided. Her last paper was clearly a response to my application of a sexual narrative theory to Rick's character in Casablanca. Second of all, fuck you. Third of all, look at this. https://doi.org/10x1000/154.
Okay, as aforementioned, it is 3 a.m, so you're gonna have to explain what reaction you want me to be having here. It's an academic paper? By your nemesis, Megan? Layla, I'm a physicist. I have no idea what any of this shit means.
She's arguing that everyone has been misinterpreting Goncharov's Katya this entire time.
Goncharov? As in that Francis Ford Coppola film you're obsessed with?
Scorsese, not Coppola. You're thinking of The Godfather. Otherwise, yes.
Okay. And this is a problem. Why?
Well, smart people have always been able to see that there's kind of a homoerotic vibe between Katya and this other character, Sophia. But it almost always gets interpreted as a tragedy. Katya ends up dead not only because of all the male ego bullshit she's caught up in with her husband and Andrei, but also because a 1970s narrative can't tolerate women who love women even being alive at the end, let alone happy. There's this whole Alison Bechdel cartoon about it.
Uh-huh.
But Megan is proposing that they've got it all wrong. Andrei and Goncharov are the ones trapped by the narrative. There are all these, like, layers of symbolism tangling them up and making sure they can't get away. But Katya and Sophia's relationship exists in a kind of narrative blank. It's actually reinforced by the cinematography if you pay attention. There's all these long shots that don't force an interpretation on you, like the right skewed angles in the rest of the film. Sure, Katya dies at the end, but that has nothing to do with her relationship with Sophia. In fact, that relationship is the freest part of the film, because the camera refuses to interpret it. It's lesbianism as liberatory, not damning.
Okay. And this argument of Megan's is bad?
Sarah, it's fucking brilliant! It's going to completely change the way we think about queerness on film if anyone has any sense. I can't believe I didn't think of it first.
Oh, so that's what this is about.
Shut up. She's poaching on my damn turf is what it's about. She's supposed to stick to US-American stuff, and I handle the European end.
I'm going to regret asking this, but isn't it an American film?
Matteo JWHJ0715 was Italian. So, we're half the production crew. It's got that shiny American gangster gloss on it. But the scholarly consensus is that it's fundamentally a film about East-West European tensions during the Cold War. Far more so than most of the cast realized. I'm not even getting into the argument that it was actually JWHJ0715 who directed most of it.
No, please don't feel you need to do that.
So anyway, conclusion. It's my territory and she has no fucking right to be there. Let alone to do it so brilliantly.
I don't suppose there's any chance you're going to be, like, normal about this?
Oh, I'm going to be so normal. You're not going to believe how normal I can be. I'm just going to have to write a better paper, that's all. Please to acknowledge Dr. Wright's valuable contribution to the field. However, I believe she has overlooked the pivotal role of XYZ in the development of the genre ETC. Generous in a gently condescending way. You know the style. Now all I need to do is figure out what XYZ is.
Well, great. Happy to have worked through this with you. Can I go the fuck to sleep now?
Oh yeah, sure. Don't you have to teach a class in like 5 hours or something?
Yeah. No shit, Layla.
Like I said, you really need to start putting your phone on mute at night. Anyway, sleep well. Hey, can you read this and let me know what you think real quick? I promise it's not long. Just, like, tell me whether the structure holds together and the prose is solid. I know you don't really know the context.
I note that this is not an academic abstract.
Oh, you finished it already? What did you think?
Well, the pacing was good, but the formatting's a bit off. You've got her dripping cunt twice on one page. Also that comma between thighs quivering and her fingers clenched restlessly in the crumpled sheets should be a semicolon. And in general, I think it could use fewer M dashes.
Yes, yes, but was it hot?
In full awareness of what this says about me. Yes. Are you going to tell me why you're writing explicit Katja / Sophia fanfiction instead of working on your anti-Megan abstract?
Oh, I'm deaf working on it. I just need to think through whether it's possible to resolve that Katya-Sophia tension while maintaining the space of narrative potential it opens up. Hence, porn. You know how it is.
I really don't. Again, I'm a physicist. You'd be astonished how little scope semiconductors offer for homoeroticism.
Well, that sounds like a you problem. Anyway, thanks for the proofread. I'll post this and get back to the abstract now.
Just tell me you're not adding this to your CV as an example of academic outreach or something. Layla? Layla, you're not, are you? Layla?
Part 2.
Degendering the double. Gontrov beyond binaries. Dr. Layla El-Diwani, University of East Anglia. Drawing on Dr. Megan Wright's recent article regarding the narratological role of female homoeroticism in Martin Scorsese's 1973 noir Gontrov, this paper argues that the Katya-Sophia relationship does not, in fact, represent a structural lacuna, but instead forms a mirror to that of Andrei Gontrov, its absences illuminating the possibilities that male homoeroticism suppresses while highlighting the differing forms of violence, narrative and otherwise, to which women are subject. While I am pleased to acknowledge Dr. Wright's valuable contribution to the field of queer film studies and believe that her interpretation provides a powerful critical tool for future scholars, its application to Gontrov, nonetheless, overlooks the pivotal role of the double in the Italian noir genre on which the film draws, a misunderstanding common to Anglophone critics who frequently underrate the contributions of screenwriter Matteo JWHJ0715 to the film's final structure. To read the Katya-Sophia relationship as a double of that of Andrei Gontrov is not, however, to fall back on patriarchal ontologies that regard women as inferior or incomplete men, nor yet to reinforce an outmoded gender binary. Rather, in my reading, it is Andrei and Gontrov who are the twisted mirror to Katya and Sophia, as evidenced by the overwhelming critical interpretive focus on Katya that Wright herself identifies. Projecting a complex world of false reflections and displayed defaults, this paper therefore asks whether Gontrov's funhouse mirrors of gender might ultimately become a form of escape hatch, providing liberation not only for Katya and Sophia, but for all those falsely imprisoned by the imperatives of noir masculinity.
Starfucker number 9. Just watched the movie and came straight here to see if anyone else had picked up on the Katya-Sophia tension, lol. This was so good! Love the detail with Sophia's lipstick. It feels really authentic.
Billabong cloud. Hot!
Anon. Oh wow, this is incredible. You've captured the oscillating fear and desire that Katya feels for Sophia in the film so perfectly. The sense that there's always something slightly unknowable about her, and the way that Katya can't help being drawn in by that even though she knows it might threaten her position in the Gontrov-Andre triangle, and the fact that you manage to maintain that air of mystery even when Katya literally has her fingers inside her. Did I mention that this fic is unbelievably hot? The amount of tension you build within a mere 500 words of setup? It's wound so tight that the snap on the "so undress me" line is almost audible. And that payoff, my god. I read this 3 days ago, and I swear I have not stopped thinking about this line since. Katya has forgotten that she ever spoke Italian. Sophia's mouth undoes history, geography, would unbind every tie that holds her to the city in an instant, were it not for Katya's vows. It's both shatteringly hot and so emblematic of the tragedy of this relationship. Freedom is right there, so close that she can literally taste it. It's smeared on her thighs along with Sophia's lipstick. And yet she's still held back by what she believes she owes to Goncharov. Which is what she owes to heteronormativity, of course. Incredible. Thank you so much for writing this.
Lily Elbe. Love, love, love this. May I please have permission to translate it to Italian? I'll link and credit you, of course.
Desiring absence. A response to Dr. Leila El-Diwani. Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London. Dr. El-Diwani's recent paper, Degendering the Double, Goncharov Beyond Binaries, presents a bold intervention in the field of noir film scholarship. While her conclusions offer valuable food for thought, the premises on which they are based, and in particular her assertions regarding the role of the screenwriter Matteo J.W.H. J0715 in the creative process, represent a misreading of...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
The Sofa, Rhiannon. God, okay, firstly, it's insane that you're praising this dumb little thing when freedom is right there, so close she can literally taste it. It's smeared on her thighs along with Sophia's lipstick. It's hotter than anything I've ever written. But secondly, hell yeah, talk critical analysis to me! You're the first commenter to really get into that push-pull of desire-fear, knowing unknowability, freedom, self-imprisonment between Katya and Sophia, and I love how those thematic pairs almost but don't quite resolve within the film itself. Obviously, on a practical level, it's because if Katya just ran away with Sophia, there'd be nothing to trigger the scene with Andrei at the clock tower and the whole plot would fall apart. But it also feels like Katya's so blinded by the violence of Goncharov's world that she doesn't even realize the alternative exists. And it's fitting that Sophia, who occupies this precarious position half in and half out of that world, is the one to offer it. Something, liminal spaces, I forget where exactly I was going with this, but I'd love to know how free you think Sophia really is. After all, she may not be bound to the mafia, but she's still trapped by her own poverty for most of the story. Anyway, more importantly, I'm so pleased the fingering section worked as well for you as it did for me. TMI? I'm sorry, lol. There's never enough femme slash in the world, so Starship Troopers give. I'm doing my part. BTW, I did want them to actually fuck, but I wasn't prepared to research dildo availability in 1970s Naples on top of getting all the Russian language bits right. Maybe next time. Thanks so much again for commenting, and please come back and tell me all your thoughts on Sophia's role in the narrative and or whether Katya would let her go down on her in the cafe bathroom before the meeting with Andrei. XOXO, hope you have a great day! What's in a name? Matteo J.W.H. J0715 and the Semiotics of Southern European Crime Drama. A response to Dr. Megan Wright. Dr. Leila El-Diwani, University of East Anglia. In its powerful theoretical claims, Dr. Wright's intriguing new article, Desiring Absence, risks losing sight of the material realities that ultimately combine to produce any work of cinema. While her analysis of screenwriter Matteo J.W.H.J.0715's relationship to his native country, and in particular to his father, whose identity as a license plate is frequently supposed to have been a factor in J.W.H.J.0715's 1971 breakdown, is in the best tradition of Goncharov scholarship, it nonetheless neglects.
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Lost in translation, Gunsarov's southern subtitle is A Response to Dr. Leila El-Diwani. Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London. If we consider the contested boundaries between nations to be both areas of threat and, as Dr. El-Diwani has posited in her latest forceful contribution to Gunsarov's scholarship, spaces of opportunity, we may begin to move beyond the contradictory premises of El-Diwani's argument into a
log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Anon. The sofa? I mean, can it really be considered enablement if all I said was, I think about the line, when Sophia puts her tongue inside her, it is the only thing that has ever existed on a daily basis? I'm sure it's just a happy coincidence that you happen to write 4,000 words of clock tower cunnilingus porn in a 3 a.m. fugue state, immediately after I posted my comment. Anyway, I haven't actually read it yet. Not because I'm not thrilled, but because I have an awful deadline this week, and I need the prospect of a reward at the end to get me through it. But I still really wanted to reply to your point about Sophia slash Andre as women loving women slash men loving men solidarity. I really think you're onto something there. I mean, the line probably wasn't intended to be read that way, but the author is dead. Whoops. Is that in bad taste? Sorry, Mateo. And to my mind, it's the only logical explanation for why Andre gives her the gun when it's so clearly against his best interests. Not to mention that the contempt that Ice Pick Joe treats him with really smacks of homophobia. Especially if you read his comments about fancy dressing as targeted at Andre specifically. Much to think about. Anyway, I promise I'll be back at the weekend to finally read the new fic. Hope you're having a good week, heart.
Doubles and Doppelgangers in Europe's Bootleg, Gontrov. A Response to Dr. Megan Wright. Dr. Leila El-Diwani, University of East Anglia. While Dr. Wright is to be congratulated for her willingness to go beyond orthodox sources when analyzing Gontrov's European subtitlers, her lack of attention to the unauthorized dubs and remakes that proliferated behind the Iron Curtain renders her assertions
log into JSTOR to continue reading.
The Sofa. Anon. I'm telling you, you ought to be writing fic as well. Even just travels or something. The little snippets of story you keep gifting me in your comments are better than 99.9% of the stuff on this hillside, I swear. Anyway, I have 3 different academic books about mid-century sex toys open on my desk as we speak, and I'm blaming you for this. Katya Sophia's Trap and Porn coming to an AU3 near you, whenever my actual day job lets up long enough for me to get it better, that OL. The Sofa. And another thing! I'm most too tired for critical analysis right now. Day jobs are a bitch, huh? But I had to bite, lol. And that point you made about Katya as a masochist. I love it. It's such a freeing interpretation. Everyone else seems to see the hit me scene with Sophia as evidence that Katya can't detach herself from the abuse she suffered. But to me, that doesn't make sense. Not only does she explicitly say at the beginning of the scene that this is the freest she's ever felt, and we know she never actually lies to Sophia on screen, but the cinematography is backing it up too. All those ambiguous wide shots and nary a Dutch angle in sight. Like, sometimes a girl just wants to get slapped, you know? Especially if Sophia's going to kiss it better after. Now, there's a story idea for you.
A new trichotomy. Gontcharov's Slavic imitators as a metaphor for cinematic structure. A response to Dr. Leila El-Diwani. Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London. Dr. El-Diwani's recent article on the reception of Gontcharov behind the Iron Curtain is perspicacious, but flawed. If we take the example of
log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Anon. The Sofa. For some reason, I keep imagining them running away to Scandinavia, not the US. I think because the story of Goncharov is so closely linked to Naples, I can't help feeling that fleeing to another city like New York would just tangle them up in the same stupid conflicts again. But out in a little cabin in a fjord, away from the nonsense of gender roles and able to earn an honest living from the land? I mean, insert all the usual caveats about how cottagecore aesthetics often tip towards fascism in real life, etc. But we can dream, can't we?
The sofa. Re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re I agree. Dapple light through the window in the forest as silent as the first day of history. The calluses on Katya's hands slowly beginning to hide her scars. Subjectivity unfolding like petals in the sunlight. Okay, give me 3 to 5 business days and I'll make it happen, lol. The unsuitability of metaphor. A response to Dr. Megan Wright, Dr. Leila Al-Diwani, University of East Anglia. While narrative theory may offer convincing insights into the work of auteurs such as Matteo JWHJ0715, Dr. Wright's new paper goes decidedly too far in...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Structuring style. A response to Dr. Leila Al-Diwani, Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London. If Dr. Al-Diwani wishes to comment on the role of metaphor in a broadly linear narrative such as Scorsese's Gone to Rolf, it would behoove her to...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. A proposed resolution to the Wright-Al-Diwani debate. Dr. Marcus Szymczyk, University of Gdańsk. This paper proposes that the apparently fundamental differences between the approaches of Dr. Megan Wright and Dr. Leila Al-Diwani regarding Martin Scorsese's 1973 crime drama Guncharov are in fact merely differing manifestations of a broadly harmonious...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
On Incompatible Narratives, a response to Dr. Marcus Szymczyk, Dr. Leila Al-Diwani, University of East Anglia. It is rare to encounter an academic paper that fails to advance to any degree whatsoever the discourse of which it forms a part. Dr. Szymczyk's recent article, Thesis, Antithesis, Synthesis, A Proposed Resolution to the Wright-Al-Diwani Debate, is, however, one such paper. If...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Fossilized Paradigms, a response to Dr. Marcus Szymczyk, Dr. Megan Wright, King's College, London. The axiom, those who can do, do, those who can't, teach, is particularly apt in the case of Dr. Szymczyk. His recent paper, Thesis, Antithesis, Synthesis, a proposed resolution to the Wright-Al-Diwani debate, has the virtue neither of novelty nor of accuracy, and as such...
Log into JSTOR to continue reading.
Anon. The sofa. Well, you already know my feelings on the mafia as an allegory for hegemonic masculinity. So I'm just gonna go right ahead and dig into the porn. Is it too much if I admit the first sex scene made me cry? Like, the idea of learning to speak a new language as a metaphor for desire could so easily be trite. But here you tie it into the film's themes of displacement and xenophobia so beautifully that it feels completely earned.
Click here to expand comment.
And that swooping feeling of recognition and things at once opening up and falling into place, God, I've been there. I've been there. Anon. The sofa. In the sober light of day, it occurs to me that I did not, in fact, dig into the porn at all. Just wrote 5 gushing paragraphs about how much I related to your portrayal of lesbian desire in, a space AU of noted crime drama Guncharov. But you know what? I stand by it. Of course, the porn is fantastic. I'll come back soon and pen a proper tribute to the way you balance breathless, winding descriptions with the bluntness of 4-letter words. I promise. But also, I honestly can't remember the last thing I read that made me feel so seen.
Just thank God for the internet, I guess. Thank God for fanfiction.
The sofa. Re 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 Annan. Heart 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 heart.
Part 3.
Oh, holy shit fucking hell.
Always nice to hear from you too, Layla. Is everything okay?
Obviously fucking not. You know how I'm speaking on that conference panel this afternoon?
Yeah.
Well, guess who else is here? Starts with M and ends with Eggenright.
I can see how that might present a problem, seeing as you were on the brink of calling her a moron in the most prestigious film studies journal in Europe.
Be fair, I can adapt my register to my audience. I would have called her an ignoramus.
Markus Simchak for the Nobel Peace Prize, TBH.
Anyway, I might still get the chance. Panel starting, wish me luck.
Try not to start an actual physical fight, will you? London rents are brutal. I can't afford to go bail for you as well.
Audio transcription, page 16 of 84.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our panel, Gonchirov at 50, The Afterlives of a Noir Icon. My name is Katrina Worsted, and I'll be your moderator today. With me are British Library digital media preservation expert Barry London, film studies scholars Megan Wright, King's College London, and Leigh El-Diwani, University of East Anglia, and translator and Jagiellonian University Emeritus Professor Cynthia Tokarczuk. Cynthia, would you start us off by giving a brief overview of Goncharov's reception in the Soviet Union in the 1970s?
As I'm sure Professor Tokarczuk will agree, official interpretations of Goncharov as a critique of Western militarism were a key factor in its revival in the Soviet bloc of the 1980s.
Yes, that's...
I'm sorry, but it's simply not reasonable to make that argument. After the lengths Professor Tuchalkuk's own colleagues at Jagiellonian have gone to debunk the idea of a single official culture in 1980s Poland and Hungary.
Well, I would argue...
I never said anything about a single official culture. I'm simply arguing that the general trend across the Soviet Union was to read Goncharov as an allegory for Western military political maneuvering during the early 1970s.
And, of course, there's a compelling argument to be made that Goncharov will remain relevant as an allegory for the developing threat of AI. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Wright?
Well, to some extent, but in general I think that to view it as an allegory reduces the specific political power with which—
Oh, come on. Surely a work like Goncharov is capacious enough to contain however many allegories you like?
I wouldn't.
I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that even a work as powerful as Goncharov risks being overdetermined if we—
That suggestion lacks nuance.
If we look at the pernicious political effect that far-right interpretive hermeneutics have on films such as Dr. El-Diwani, that is perhaps the most elaborate misinterpretation of the production team's motivations.
Either an inability or a refusal to perform the basic due diligence.
If we could...
The very suggestion is insulting.
Dr. Wright, Dr. El-Diwani, thank you so very much. Perhaps we could move on to questions now?
We weren't...
Yes, the gentleman in the blue blazer, if you could speak directly into the microphone.
Good morning. Matthew Ledbetter, Ohio State. Less of a question and more of a comment, really. Dr. Wright, I couldn't help but notice that you referred to the character Sophia as Tuscan in your summary, rather than Sicilian. It's an easy mistake to make, of course, particularly if you're not entirely familiar with the differences in accent between northern and southern Italy, but...
Actually, I was...
Unfortunately, it removes a central prop of your argument regarding Sophia's position in Neapolitan mafia society.
Dr. Ledbetter.
Perhaps you should reconsider your implied characterization of Sophia as an ontological outsider in the world of Goncharov. It would be a shame to...
She was talking about the checked up. As you know, if you'd actually been listening as opposed to thinking about how to leverage this little confrontation for maximum exposure on your LinkedIn profile later... That's not... Dr. Ledbetter, she literally wrote the book on the role of regional stereotypes in Goncharov.
If you...
Warius, your most significant publication to date, I'm judging by your academia.edu page, you understand, as I must confess I don't recall your work appearing in any of the major international journals, appears to be an analysis of Marxist subtext in Mean Girls. A cinematic work which I, of course, respect as much as the next millennial, but if you believe it qualifies you to...
Well, thank you, Dr. El-Diwani. I think that's all we have time for today. Now, if someone from the tech team could just stop the recording and believe a buffet lunch is available in...
Transcript ends.
How's it going? I haven't heard any reports of police being called to a brawl at the British Library, so I assume you managed to exercise some restraint. Layla? Everything did go okay with your pal Megan, right?
Yes?
Not sensing an overwhelming level of conviction here. What happened?
Well, there was this utter idiot in the audience who wouldn't know auteur theory from his ass. Begins a really dumb fight with her that made it clear she wasn't listening. I mean, I don't think he even knew who she was. So anyway, I told him where to get off because calling her a moron is my prerogative. And now we're writing a paper together.
You and the idiot or you and Megan?
Me and Megan. Sarah? Are you still there?
One sec. I'm just taking out property insurance. Pretty sure the combined force of you and her on the same side for once will level half of London.
Oh, fuck off. I don't know, it could be... fun? I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
From Email Protected. To Email Protected. Subject.
Fuck you. M. If you think we're citing fucking Samuel Klein...
Three paragraphs snipped. Click to expand.
It could be fun.
I hate you. You could at least pretend to sympathize.
Sympathy is what friends are for. Best friends are for pointing and laughing when you inevitably encounter the consequences of your own actions.
Voice memo. 5 seconds.
That audio's just a fart noise, isn't it?
Ugh, I'm going to bed.
From Email Protected. To Email Protected. Subject.
You know our employers can monitor our email subjects, right? Layla. If you would just put aside your absurd prejudice against the Baker School and look at the actual argument.
5 paragraphs snipped. Click to expand.
The sofa. Annan. Ugh, I'm so sorry. I know I've owed you a proper message for like 3 weeks now. My only excuse is that I'm having a shit month at work and it's even strained with my ability to write good porn. Pun sort of intended. Anyway, I'll reply to your actual question at the weekend, I promise. In the meantime, please accept this drabble. Remember when drabble actually meant 100 words? As a token of my esteem. Heart.
From Email Protected. To Email Protected. Subject.
The president of KCL sucks balls. M. If this email gets through, I think we're okay on the surveillance front. Anyway, here's my entirely unbiased analysis of the Baker School's argument. It fucking sucks. Look, if we just change the structure of the paper to...
2 paragraphs snipped. Click to expand.
Anon. Re-re-re. 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 re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re-re excuse you, that drabble was a delight. In the meantime, I've been having a lot of thoughts about coffee shop AUs. Yes, I know. But I think we can learn a lot about a narrative by looking at the places where it can and can't submit to the norms of a totally different genre. They might brighten your day up a little. Here's an outline.
Click here to expand comment.
Anyway, just an idea. Hope work improves soon. Heart.
Well, thank God for my anonymous commenter, at least. Do you think he'll let me post to AU3 from jail when I'm in there for strangling Megan?
Voice memo. 23 seconds.
That audio's just you laughing hysterically, isn't it?
From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. I don't think tenure has been good for you. Layla. Okay, I'm willing to concede on Peterson. I don't like the historiographical assumptions she makes either, but I don't think there's a better reference, and we need something to...
Four paragraphs snipped. Click to expand. From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. Making my job security everyone else's problem. M. If you concede on Peterson, I'll give you Martinovich. Yeah, his translation of those street signs is inaccurate as hell, but we can get a good couple of paragraphs about the assumptions that Canadian critics bring to the table out of it. Only problem is, I still can't figure out how to structure the section on...
Five paragraphs snipped. Click to expand. From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. Maybe if we put the statistical argument first? Just a thought.
From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. We still don't have a logical link between sections 1 and 2, though. Lead with a Peterson section?
From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. Thanks, I hate it. Doesn't solve Galbandian's objection. Just scrap section 1 and start again.
From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. See above.
From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. I concur. Look, doing this over email sucks beyond words, and Zoom is somehow even worse. You're in town for that workshop at UCL, right? Do you want to come over and see if we can solve it in person? Address follows.
One paragraph snipped. Click to expand. From email protected. To email protected. Subject.
Re. This better not be a cunning ploy to murder me and assume my professorship. 5:30? Incidentally, I can't believe you live in fucking Kensington. Much against my better judgment, Al. Sarah! Sarah, help! Sarah, pick up! This is an emergency! We're working on this paper at Megan's place, and she gave me her laptop so I could proofread while she went to the bathroom. And I accidentally minimized the window because of course she uses a fucking weird trackpad thing, and there were a bunch of browser tabs underneath. And obviously I wasn't going to look because I'm not a barbarian. But one of them was my AO3 username. Sarah, she's my anonymous commenter. She's read my porn. She liked my porn. So what the fuck am I going to do?
You're working on what? Where now?
Oh, now you respond? Look, hashing this dumb paper out over email wasn't working, and I was down in London for the day, so I went over to her place. I figured at least I could throw coasters at her wherein she tries to cite people I hate.
You're in London for the day, and you're not visiting me.
Sarah, I love you, but now is not the time. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, we're having words about this later. But for now, it looks like there's only one option.
What? What's the option? Come on, Sarah, I'm begging you. She'll be back any second.
Log into your AO3 account on your own laptop and give it to her so she can proofread while you go to the bathroom. Layla?
That's either the stupidest thing I've ever heard or pure genius. Oh shit, she's coming. Because we're going to find out which.
Layla? Is everything okay? I was expecting you to have text by now, if only to yell at me. Starting to worry. Layla?
Hey, can you proofread this abstract real quick and let me know what you think? Also, we're dating now.
1 year later. European Journal of Queer Film Studies contents page.
Thank God for fanfiction. Minoritized culture criticism
and lesbian identity formation
in Gontra fandom. Dr. Layla El-Diwani, University of East Anglia.
And Dr. Megan Wright, King's College London.